being warned not to repeat the mistakes of the European Union. An escalating refugee crisis is the latest issue facing the EU, amongst other things, of course. The New Zealand Initiative Executive Director, Oliver Hartwich, says the structure and foreign policies of the EU don't seem to be working. It says New Zealand needs to avoid the EU's example of a large and expensive bureaucracy serving an ageing population. Well, it might be a bit of wishful thinking, governments being what they are and bureaucracies being what they are. But Dr. Oliver Hartwich, very good morning.
Good morning.
And it is delightful to talk to you again. The refugee crisis, what Angela Merkel is saying, and I've been quoting that liberally, everything must move quickly, was her quote, or one of them. And then she calls a meeting for 2 weeks later. Doesn't seem to be too much of an emergency as far as she's concerned. Is she right?
Well, it sounds very much like Angela Merkel. You have to keep in mind, of course, that Angela Merkel took weeks until she actually took position in the whole refugee crisis. I mean, this is a crisis that's been going for weeks, if not months. And Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, simply didn't find the time to really say anything about it until very recently. And now she's trying to take the initiative, and even now it takes her 2 weeks to really call an emergency summit. And the situation can only be described as an emergency. Just a couple of weeks ago, the German Interior Ministry issued a prognosis that for this year they're expecting at least about 800,000 people, 800,000 refugees. I think even that might be optimistic. It could well reach about 1 million. And just to put this into context, I mean, Germany is a country of 80 million people. If we had similar figures in New Zealand, we would be talking about 50,000 people coming into the country. So you can imagine what crisis and what proportions of this crisis we're facing in Europe.
Just, tell you what, just give us an idea of what border protection Germany has in the EU to prevent them just rolling in from any angle.
Well, practically none, because Germany is part of the Schengen Agreement. So the Schengen Agreement is a pan-European agreement where basically border controls were abolished about 20 years ago, which makes it possible for people to travel without a passport basically from the far north of Europe to Sicily. And this way, Germany has basically no control over its borders. It's dependent and reliant on its neighbors to monitor the outside borders of the European Union. But once people are in, they're free to travel, basically, and they're not controlled at the border. The theory behind this is an agreement that the EU reached about 10, 15 years ago, the so-called Dublin III agreement, and that meant that whenever refugees enter the European Union, they have to apply for political asylum in the first country that they enter. So, for example, a refugee arriving in Greece or in Romania or in Bulgaria or in Italy would have to apply for asylum there. They do that, of course, but then they still travel on regardless and cross the borders because they're no longer checked. And in this way, there are now trains arriving in Germany on a daily basis of people who simply do not want to take asylum in Romania or Italy, but they actually hope for a much better life and much more generous treatment in Germany, even though they probably don't understand anything about Germany. They don't speak a word of German. They have no idea what really expects them there. But because it's so easy to cross borders, they are now arriving in Germany in the thousands each day.
Well, there were scenes on television a couple of weeks back with young folk in particular doing rioting, and I think from memory it was in Greece, but they'd been to Turkey already, and things hadn't worked out for them there, so they moved on, and they were demanding that they be given stuff. They were just demanding that they, you know, they thought they were arriving in Wonderland, and one of them even threatened to go back where he came from. And I think that brought cheers, but that doesn't help the situation. What is there that the Europeans can do to, if not stop the flow, stem it?
There's very little that the Europeans can do when it comes to genuine refugees, because there is, of course, a genuine crisis in Syria, and that's where people are trying to escape from. And I think if you or I lived in Aleppo, we would try to get out of the city as soon as possible because it's a war zone. And, of course, Europe has to do whatever it can to take these people and, of course, try to help solve the Syrian crisis, even though it will take years, probably, because it's a very complicated situation. We have to differentiate, really, between these people seeking genuine political asylum, people trying to escape war zones, and people just generally looking for a better life and better employment conditions. I think for the latter group that I described, the political asylum simply doesn't apply because these people do not have reasons to stand on, and they can't really claim political asylum credibly. So these people, in all normal circumstances, would have to be sent back quite soon. What Germany and the other European countries really need to deal with these people seeking employment without being genuine political asylum seekers is actually having a proper immigration law, an immigration law of the kind that, for example, New Zealand or Australia operate, where you actually have to be qualified, where you have to speak the language, where you actually have to demonstrate some skills in order to get into the country. Germany doesn't have that at the moment, unfortunately, and so the only chance that these people see for themselves is actually to claim political asylum, even though they don't really qualify for it.
All right. I'm looking at a headline that says European immigration could hit tipping point in Germany. Whatever that tipping point might be, what would the result of it be? What might the result of it be?
Well, I think the first thing that the Germans are trying to do is actually to make sure that the other European countries play by the rules again and that they actually process their asylum seekers in their own countries rather than letting them depart and move to Germany. Angela Merkel in a press conference today actually talked about she doesn't want to close the borders again. She doesn't want to move away from the Schengen Agreement. But if the other countries don't live up to their responsibilities, Germany might be forced to look into that. She also demanded that other European countries that at the moment categorically refuse to take any refugees, any asylum seekers, any people from war and torn countries like Syria, that they would probably face some sanctions within the EU, because it is simply not fair that just a very few countries in Europe, particularly Germany, but also Sweden, for example, take the majority, the bulk of the refugees and asylum seekers, whereas other European countries, particularly the Baltic states, but also some other Eastern European countries, categorically refuse to take any of them. So this is actually a question for the whole European Union. Angela Merkel, I think, has to solve this problem in conjunction with her European partners, because Europe is now so integrated. They have joint border, they have joint asylum policy, at least in theory, that you cannot solve this problem just purely on a German domestic basis.
While most of the refugees are coming from Libya, ISIS-affected areas, I read yesterday from a reporter on the scene that there was concern growing about the number of Afghanis who were coming in as well, and people even as far away as Bangladesh were joining in. Is this, in your opinion, you think likely to escalate from the sources?
Well, we are seeing this development already, and I remember actually reading a story in a German newspaper just last week that reported about a refugee train coming from Eastern Europe into Germany, where the refugees were basically destroying their passports, trying to get rid of any kind of documentation to really show where they really came from, and then pretending that they were all Syrians, when in fact they were North Iraqis, for example. And the refugees, of course, among themselves recognized quite clearly where the others are coming from. But nobody really told the German authorities where these people came from, because they didn't have a chance to really track them down. So, yes, people are pretending to be genuine political asylum seekers, but in fact they are not.
I want to try something on you and get your reaction. The suggestion that to resolve this at source, the only way to do it really is to take major military, particularly air action, against ISIS and obliterate them. In other words, carpet bomb them for as long as it takes, 2 weeks or so. Now, there would be a lot of what's known as collateral damage, of course. There would be a lot of lives lost who weren't part of ISIS. But is that looking like a possible solution?
I'm afraid I'm not a military strategist. I'm just an economist looking at it, and I think the experience of such past conflicts suggests that you cannot solve problems as severe as this by just using airstrikes. I think that was one of the illusions that we had seen in previous theaters of war, that you think by just having some kind of precise military operation, just some precise airstrikes, you could solve a crisis in the end. Such difficult situations, talking about ISIS, they will probably take ground troops, but the experience again with ground troops in past military conflicts doesn't suggest that it's an easy thing to do. Neither is there much political appetite, of course, either in the United States, let alone in European countries, to actually send ground troops to Syria. So I don't really see any likely military solution to the situation, and I don't quite believe that airstrikes are the way to go. But having said that, I'm not a military strategist. I just observe how previous conflicts played out.
All right. Your new publication is available where?
It is available through all ordinary online booksellers, and it's available directly from the publisher, Corner Court, in Australia. And the publication is called Why Europe Failed. And it is a part history lesson, but it's a part warning as well for countries like New Zealand and Australia not to repeat Europe's mistakes. And what I do in the publication is actually I trace back the development of the European Union, trying to explain where this idea of ever closer union and constant European integration comes from. And what I try to explain in the book is how after the Second World War, European nations tried to avoid a repeat of the Versailles experience or the experience after the Franco-Prussian War of 1870-71. And so rather than having renewed conflict between European nations, they tried to integrate them. But I think you have to see the whole development against the backdrop of the Cold War, because at the same time it was a way of integrating Western Europe against the threat of the Soviet Union and its allies. And so therefore, I think you can only understand the whole process of European integration against the backdrop of the Cold War. You can also understand why the other European countries were so keen on integrating, because they thought that it was the best strategy to basically neutralize Germany by embracing it very closely so the Germans couldn't move anymore. So basically it was a political project. It was driven by geopolitical reasons and geopolitical strategies. But unfortunately, economically, it never worked because it was never an economic project. And I argue in the essay that to buy the support of European peoples who were not really that enthusiastic about this whole European integration project, they were bribed with their own money by an ever-extending welfare state. And the results we can see in Greece. The results are European states that have become too big, European welfare states that have become too big, and you see an increase in tax spending and debt policies in Europe. And I think that's a sobering lesson for us here in this part of the world, not to repeat that European experience.
Indeed. And I appreciate your time again. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Oliver Hartwich, Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative, economist and media commentator and whatever else.